Shalom, shalom, Jerusalem. Peace be to you. When Messiah comes to take us home, make his praise be found in you.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to another program of Search the Scriptures. My name is Don Esposito. I'm the senior elder for Congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem. I am broadcasting this from Israel, the very promised land where me and my wife live. And we host the three pilgrim feasts of Pesach, Passover, Shavuot, Pentecost, and Sukkot tabernacles here. And probably good to bring that up now, because today we're going to be talking a lot about these days and what they mean and how important they are. A lot of times you'll hear me mention, if you listen to our broadcast enough, Revelation 12:9, that Satan has deceived the whole world. And it is so true. So many of the beliefs today that are in Christianity are not beliefs that are in your Bible, but actually are from paganism. And in our last program, we were talking about the paganism of Christmas and Easter and many of the Christian so-called holidays. If you did not hear that broadcast, please go to our website, www.cohwh.com. You can download any of our programs. The last one is called What's So Merry About Christmas? I'm not going to really get into too much because we have a lot of other things to go over today, but just briefly, you can open up any encyclopedia or go on any computer and just look up Origins of Christmas, and you will clearly find out. It's a historical fact. It's not a religious theological debate that Christmas and Easter, Ishtar comes from the god Ishtar, were not holy days or holidays that were celebrated by the early believers when either our Savior was on the earth back in 27, 28, 29, 30 AD, or by Peter or any of the apostles. None of these pagan holidays were being celebrated and performed till the 4th century, but there was a pagan emperor named Constantine that in 313 AD, he was a Roman emperor. He had a dream of a cross, and he went out the next day and won a battle, and supposedly he became a believer. And yet, if you look in the history books, and again, it's very easy to look it up today in the internet world, you will see that Constantine never gave up the worship of the sun. And a matter of fact, Constantine made the worship of the Sabbath day, one of the Ten Commandments, illegal, and said everything that is a duty to do on Yahweh's Sabbath day, we will change to the venerable day of the sun. So there's a great deception going on. Like we said, Revelation 12:9, Satan has deceived the whole world. And many people don't realize that when they're following these pagan days, they're not just worthless pagan days, but they're actually worshiping demons. And where we left off the last time, I think it's important to read it again. You know, we said John 4:24, Yahweh is spirit, we must worship him in spirit and truth. And 1 Corinthians 10 in verse 19, what then do I say, that an idol is anything, or that an idolater sacrifices anything? No, but the things that pagans sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not Yahweh. But I would not want you to have fellowship with demons. All of these days, Christmas, the broom, which comes from the Saturnalia, which was a pagan a feast where there was all kinds of sexual orgies and drunkenness and every kind of vile thing going on. Some of these days even go back to child sacrifice. And clearly we read from Deuteronomy 12:30-32, that Yahweh told the nation of Israel, when you come into the promised land, you are not to follow the ways of the pagans and take their holy days and merely dress them up a little bit and try to worship him through it. You know, why would the creator of the universe accept that? Isaiah 42 and verse 8 says, I am Yahweh. That is my name. I will not give my glory to graven images. And do you really think it gives glory to Yahweh to take some worthless pagan sacrifice and turn it around and try to worship him through it? Absolutely not. And that worship is not going toward a heavenly Father. It has nothing to do with the life, death, and resurrection of our Savior Yeshua. But it is just steeped in paganism. That's all it is. And then what does it say? Verse 21 here in 1 Corinthians 10 still. You cannot drink of the cup of our master and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the table of our master and the table of demons. Or do we provoke our master to jealousy? Are we stronger than him? And the very first holy day, which I want to get into today, is beside, once you throw out the paganism of Christianity, once you stop celebrating Christmas and Easter and all the nonsense that's there that has nothing to do with Scripture, has nothing to do with your calling as a believer, as a disciple of Yeshua, it has nothing to do with his life, death, or resurrection, then you wonder, well, what's the next step? You know, are we commanded from Scripture to follow any type of holy time beside the Sabbath day? We know the Sabbath day, we did several programs on that. Like, again, you can go online and you can listen to those programs about the Sabbath day, one of the Ten Commandments. But what about these other days? And the answer is absolutely yes. That Yahweh has set apart certain holy days in Scripture. And the holy days of Leviticus 23, if you have a Bible and you're listening to this, you could start turning there because that's where we'll be. The holy days of Leviticus 23 are all about the plan of salvation. Everything from those holy days are about the plan of salvation. And why is it? We will do some programs on the kingdom of Yahweh. Why is it that Christianity doesn't even know what the kingdom of Yahweh is? Some of them say it's in your heart. Some of the churches believe that their church is the kingdom of Yahweh. Some of them believe the kingdom is in heaven. They have no idea what that is. And every single thing that our Savior came and taught was about the kingdom of Yahweh. And again, we'll do probably several programs on that in the coming days and weeks. But why don't they know? Because they forgot these holy days of Leviticus 23. Because if you keep these holy days year-round, some are in the spring, some are during the middle of the year, or one is in the middle of the year and the rest are in the fall, you will never lose the plan of salvation. And I'll go through these holy days very quickly now, just telling you simply what the plan is through them, and then we'll get into some of them more specifically. But the first thing I want to do is, as we get into Leviticus 23, because what some people will be thinking is, is he telling us we need to keep the feast of the Jews? No, I'm not telling you that. Because what we're going to see is the Bible is not the Jewish Bible. Matter of fact, Judah, where the word Jew comes from, was one of the 12 sons of Israel. Abraham had a son called Isaac. Isaac had a son called Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And Israel had 12 sons called the 12 tribes of Israel. Judah, or the Jews, is one of those sons. So when we look in the book of Genesis, when creation was made and the Sabbath was made and these other holy days, there wasn't a Jew on the earth for several thousand years. So they're not the feast of the Jews, as we're going to see here. Leviticus 23 in verse 1. And Yahweh, the creator of the universe, our heavenly Father, Yahweh is his name, spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of Yahweh, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. Does it sound like they're the feasts of the Jews? Absolutely not. Now, granted, I have nothing against Jewish people keeping these feast days. They live in the land of Israel. This is their homeland. I'm thankful that they're keeping these feast days. I applaud them for doing it. All I'm trying to say is, these feasts were here long before there was any Jew on the earth, and they are the feasts of Yahweh. They are the feasts of Yahweh, and they tell the plan of salvation. He says right here, these are my feasts, which are holy convocations. Now, it's really interesting. If you look that word up, in the Hebrew, it's a very interesting word. It literally means rehearsal. That they are rehearsals. And what are they rehearsals for? They are rehearsals for the plan of salvation. That's exactly what they are rehearsals for. Now, let's get into these a little bit. There are seven holy days in Scripture. They start in the spring, which is the first month of the biblical year. It's called Aviv. It's in the month of April. Could start in late March, you know, going into April. But the very first holy day is Passover. That's the very first holy day, is the Passover. Now, what does the Passover represent? We know it. The Lamb of Yah slain from the foundation of the world. Take a lamb on the 10th day, set it apart until the 14th day, and then you are to sacrifice it between the evenings. Very interesting. When Messiah Yeshua came from Bethany on that famous first day of the week, trod into the old city when he came riding on the donkey, and they were saying Hosanna to the King, the Most High. That was the 10th day of the month. Exactly 4 days later was when he was crucified and set apart for that. Just like the lamb who was set apart. Clearly, 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 the Passover represents our Savior. When you go to the book of Matthew, the 26th chapter, what does our Savior tell us about the Passover? Matthew 26, verse 20. I'll start in verse 19. And the disciples did as Yeshua ordered them and prepared the Passover. And evening having come, he reclined with the 12. And as they were eating, he said, truly I say to you that one of you will betray me. And then he goes on with him here. And as they were eating, verse 26, taking the bread and blessing it, Yeshua broke and gave to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And taking the cup and giving thanks, he gave to them, saying, drink all of it. For this represents my blood of the new covenant, which concerning many is being poured out for remission of sins. And then he said, but I say to you, I will not drink this after you until I drink it new with you in the kingdom. 1 Corinthians 11 also says, in the night Yeshua was betrayed, he took the cup and said, do this in memory of me. It's a memorial. The Passover is a memorial. It's the 14th day of the first month of the biblical year, which is called Aviv. It means new or young. And it's commanded forever. Exodus 13 in verse 12 says, you are to keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. You are to keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. So the Passover is something that we are to keep. I'm sorry, it's Exodus 13 and verse 10. You shall keep this ordinance at its appointed time, in its season, from year to year. Yeshua said, do it in memory of him. It's a memorial. So why on earth would any believer not be doing that? It's actually a memorial of the baptism vow that you make when you enter covenant with Yahweh through the blood of our Savior. In this short program, I'm only going to have time to briefly go over these holy days. If you go online to our website, www.coyhwh.com, and you go into our study material section, we have Bible studies, and Bible study 8 and 9 is all on these holy days, telling you exactly how to keep them, what they mean, and everything else. They're free of charge. You can download them, and freely you receive, freely you give. It's our gift. We're not here to sell you anything, to make a market of you. We're here to bring the truth of Yahweh. So now, what happens? You take the Passover, which is putting the blood of Yeshua on you for the forgiveness of sins. It's entering covenant relationship with you. And now, the next 7 days after the Passover are the 7 days of unleavened bread. What does that mean? It means that for 7 days, you're supposed to take all the leaven out of your house. Leaven is any kind of leavening agent that raises bread, cookies, dough, whatever. And it represents pride. As leaven puffs up, so does pride. So for those 7 days after we take the Passover, which represents the body and blood of our Savior Yeshua, now for those 7 days, we're supposed to be taking the pride out of our life, symbolically. In the same way, you know what's interesting? I've been doing this for 28 years now. Every now and then, during the days of unleavened bread, I'll happen to go in the back of the freezer, or maybe I'm cleaning in the back of my desk, and I find an old piece of bread or something that happened to fall back there. And it really makes you think, because you know what? We have hidden sins in our life that we don't even know about. So during unleavened bread, it really helps us to reflect on those hidden sins. The same way a waffle might be hidden in the back of your freezer that you had no idea about. Believe me when I say there is pride in the back of our heart that we haven't dealt with yet. Then you have the Feast of First Fruits, you know, which as new believers, anyone who's a baptized member in covenant relationship under the blood of Yeshua is a first fruit unto him. And that starts the 50-day count to Shavuot or Pentecost. And we know Pentecost in the Old Covenant was the day that the Ten Commandments was given on Mount Sinai. And in the New Covenant, we know it was the day the Holy Spirit was given. So we see that the law and the Spirit both work together. Moses was given the physical law, and Yeshua came to give the spiritual law. Where the law said, you shall not kill, Yeshua said, if you even get angry at your brother, you've already killed him. So they all work together. One is not contrary to the other. They work together. And we remember that. Every Pentecost or every Shavuot, we remember the giving of the Holy Spirit that indwells us and makes us a child of Yahweh. Romans 8. Without that Spirit, we are none of His. Then, the seventh month of the biblical calendar, which falls sometimes either late September, early October, and the first feast in the fall is the Feast of Trumpets. The Feast of Trumpets and blowing the trumpets. So what does it say? The Messiah returns at the last trump, the great trumpet sound. So the Feast of Trumpet reminds us of the seven last trumpet blows and the plagues that are coming and the return of our Savior. And then Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement or the Day of At-One-ment, where we will be at one with our Heavenly Father when we're changed from these mortal bodies, 1 Corinthians 15, into spirit beings. And once that change comes, we will be totally like Him and our mind will be just like Him. So what do we do on that day now? We deny the flesh and we fast. We don't eat or drink that day for 24 hours from sunset to sunset, like it says in Leviticus 23:32. And we deny the flesh and we draw closer to our Heavenly Father. And yet when the kingdom comes, that's the very day that the wedding supper will be on. He will turn our fast days into feast days, as it says in Zechariah. Then, after that, comes the Feast of Sukkot or Tabernacles, where for 7 days we dwell in temporary dwellings. It could be a tent, a small hotel room, a hut, somewhere. Cabin, somewhere though that's temporary, that shows us our life is temporary and fleeting. And that this world today, you can come and be 20 or 30, tomorrow you're 60, tomorrow you're 80 if you're alive, and then that's it. That life is fleeting, but the kingdom of Yahweh is forever. And Sukkot is all about that kingdom. The 7-day festival is all about reminding us that when His kingdom comes to earth, it will be eternal. It will not be temporary. This life is temporary, but then it'll be forever. And it says in Zechariah 14 that when Yeshua returns, all nations of the earth will come up and worship Him on the Feast of Sukkot. How wonderful. Read Zechariah 14 later. Write it down and read it. It's a wonderful chapter. How all the earth will worship. So it reminds us all about the millennium. And then the 8th day, after the day right after the 7 days of Sukkot, is called the Last Great Day, which shows about the resurrection and the white throne judgment, where every man or woman that ever lived will be judged according to the things they did in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 5:10. So these holy days tell the whole plan of salvation. They tell the plan of salvation from becoming a believer in Yeshua during the Passover all the way to the white throne judgment and the last great day. And if you keep these feasts every single year the way I've been keeping them for 28 years, not only will you never forget that plan of salvation, every year you will grow deeper in the meaning of these days. And I urge you, go to our website, download lesson 8 and 9 on the holy days that go in very, very much deeper meaning. Now, I know if you're hearing this for the first time, and you're being convicted in your heart, please search this out and you'll see that everything I'm telling you is true. But at the same time, what's going to happen is you are going to go and you are going to get unmercifully attacked by your relatives, by your friends, by the people that you love that are going to tell you you're crazy and that you're being brainwashed and what are you getting into? But fear not, little flock, it is your Father's goodwill to give you the kingdom. And what I'd like to do here is I'd just like to show you in Scripture that these holy days were being kept during the days of Yeshua. Clearly, he kept the Feast of Tabernacles, John the 5th chapter. He kept the Passover, John the 2nd chapter. He kept all of these days. And the apostles after him, after his life, death, and resurrection, the apostles and the early believers all kept these days. They did not keep the pagan days of Christmas and Easter and all the other nonsense, but they kept these days. Go to 1 Corinthians 5. 1 Corinthians 5. Now here it is. Corinthians is written 30 years after the resurrection of Yeshua. Paul, supposedly the man who did away with all these things, writing to Gentiles, not to Jews or Israelites. And look what he says. 1 Corinthians. And you know what? I think I am actually going to start in verse. Yeah, I'll start in verse 7. Then purge out the old leaven, so that you may be a new lump, even as you are unleavened. Just what I was saying, during these 7 days of unleavened bread, you take all the leaven out of your house. And he's telling them to purge out the old leaven. He's showing them symbolism, spiritual symbolism, as they're unleavening their house. For also Messiah, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. So let us keep the feast. Which feast? The feast of Passover, the feast of unleavened bread. So let us keep the feast not with old leaven, nor with leaven of malice and evil, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now be logic. Number one, if you've never heard about these feasts before in your life, are you kind of surprised when I'm telling you some of these things? Well, take leaven out of your house. Or isn't it kind of surprising? So honestly, think to yourself, would Paul, 30 years after the fact, would he be writing this to these people if they weren't keeping these days? Of course not. It would make no sense to Gentiles for him to give these analogies if they were not keeping these feast days. And very clearly, 1 Corinthians 5:8, so let us keep the feast that is written in the command form. He is telling them to keep the feast of Passover. Messiah, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Anybody, any pastor, any so-called leader that's going to tell you that the early believers were not keeping these feast days is a liar. He's a liar and there's no truth in him. Because very clearly, according to Scripture, the early apostles and believers were keeping these days. Let's go to Colossians. Let's go to the book of Colossians. And chapter 2, and we will see this again. We will see it again. Colossians 2, and verse 14. And by his mandates he canceled the legal contract of our sins, talking about our Savior Yeshua, which existed against us, and he took it out of the way, nailing it to the torture stake. He did not take the law of our Heavenly Father and nail it to the torture stake. He took the legal contract of our sins and nailed it to the torture stake. And by putting off his mortal body, he exposed the powers of evil, and through his person he put them to open shame. Therefore, because Messiah did all these things for us, and these holy days are all about him, and these days tell us all about his plan of salvation through his shed blood and death and resurrection. Therefore, do not let anybody outside the body of Messiah create a disturbance among you about eating or drinking or in how you keep the feast days or the new moon or the Sabbath day. Wicked people have twisted this scripture to try to say the exact opposite of what it's saying. But clearly it's saying, do not let anyone outside the body judge you or create a disturbance about what you're eating or drinking, or how you keep your feast days, the new moon or the Sabbath day. Exactly. So now, if you go back home, and you start not eating leaven during the days of unleavened bread, if you start building a sukkah in your backyard during the days of tabernacles, if you start fasting on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. People are going to judge you. Believe me when I say it. I've been doing it 28 years. They will judge you unmercifully because you're not running to the same unsaveness as they have, like Peter says. And he's telling you here, do not let outsiders judge you for keeping these days. Why? Verse 17. Because these days they remain shadows of coming things. But the body of Messiah, let the body of Messiah judge you, not outsiders. Now, it would make no sense if they remain shadows. Like I said, remember what I said? The word convocation means rehearsal. They are a rehearsal for the plan of salvation all year long. And that's why they remain shadows. If they remain a shadow, then that means we should be keeping these things. Of course, we should be keeping them. Because Yahweh is spirit, and we have to worship him in spirit and truth. You know, my time is almost out. But I just want to say, sometimes people say, is this really so important, Don? Is it that important whether we keep these things, keep the Sabbath day, you know, and keep the holy days? And I say, read Exodus 20. Read Exodus, the 20th chapter, and what you'll see is the whole nation of Israel, not a few people, not one tribe, the whole nation of Israel lost their inheritance, was cast out of the land of Israel, and put into diaspora because they disobeyed Yahweh's Sabbath days, and they stopped following these holy days. So is it that important? You better believe it is. Look at that nation that lost an inheritance because of it. Yahweh is spirit. We must worship him in spirit and truth. Christmas and Easter are pagan. They're lies. The holy days of Leviticus 23 are truth. Yahweh tells us exactly how we should honor him and worship him. We're to worship him through his seventh-day Sabbath. We're to worship him through these beautiful holy days about our Savior that tell the whole plan of salvation. We are not to take pagan days, mix them around, and worship him through paganism. That's very simple. Well, folks, I'm just about out of time. My name is Don Esposito. I'm the senior elder for Congregation of Yahweh Jerusalem. This broadcast is coming to you straight from our Holy Land, and I'm telling you, come here. Come to a feast. Come to Sukkot next year. Go to our website, www.cohwh.com, and it will change your life. Come and see the Tabernacle of David that's fallen. Walk the steps of our Messiah. Ride a boat ride right on the Sea of Galilee. It will change your life. Believe me when I say it. You could write to me if you want. We do have an address in the United States. Our mail is shipped over here. It's P.O. Box 832, Carteret, Carteret, New Jersey, 07008. So I'd love to hear from you. And again, if you take the time to write to me, I will honor that and I will answer it. Just give it some time because, like I said, it's got to come to Israel and come back to you over there. So until next time, friends, may you be blessed and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They will prosper, all they who love you.